President Trump is about to sit down with his national security team. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's after President urged Iran to make a nuclear deal before nothing's left. Following Israel's attacks, Trump Truth Social Post warns it'll get worse.
Here at the Pentagon, the top military chiefs are meeting right now inside the tank, the Pentagon Situation Room, where top secret war planning is conducted. While the U.S. says it was not involved in the waves of Israeli airstrikes last night, it is clear they were given a significant heads up.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. The U.S. is moving some military assets to the Middle East, including a destroyer capable of defending against ballistic missiles. Now, Israel's attacks continue, targeting Iran's nuclear sites to take out its capability to make weapons.
There's much more to be done, and this will be measured in days.
Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Yekiel Leiter. They've also attacked Iran's missile stockpile, air defense, and Fox's Alex Hogan reports from Tel Aviv.
Most of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard high command was killed while gathering in an underground headquarters this morning, including several of the highest-ranking military commanders. We expect the number of military officials only to continue to grow in the coming hours. Iran also says that six nuclear scientists were killed.
Iran calls the attacks cowardly, vowing a powerful response, and Israel will regret what's being called a foolish act. But so far, the Iranian drones launched have been shot down. A win in court for Democrats challenging another Trump executive action.
The March order from President Trump required everyone registering to vote in federal elections provide proof of citizenship. It also limited when mail-in ballots could be accepted. But a federal judge in Massachusetts has put that order on hold, ruling it usurps the state's constitutional power and seeks to amend election law by fiat.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Also this morning, a federal appeals court upheld a verdict against President Trump, ordering him to pay $5 million to author E. Jean Carroll for defaming her when denying her claims he sexually assaulted her in the 1990s. America's listening to Fox News.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/policy. That's ethos.com/policy.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe, and if you want to do business with a company that actually stands for something, switch to Pure Talk. I did. Sure, I appreciate being on America's most dependable 5G network with unlimited talk and text for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is Pure Talk's commitment to our military and to our skilled workforce. That matters to me. Save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword Mike Rowe. Pure Talk, a wireless company that actually stands for something.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Danielle Burke-North. A young voice is making waves in the race for Arizona's 7th Congressional District. Deja Fox isn't your typical congressional candidate. At 25, she's part of a new generation stepping into politics, bringing her own story to the forefront. Fox is running against several Democratic candidates, including Adelita Grijalva and Daniel Hernandez. The primary election is set for July 15th. And in San Luis, Arizona, community leaders and candidates running for Arizona's 7th Congressional District discuss the future of education. People voice their concerns and proposals at a forum on how to better education in the state. One of the panelists and students who spoke at the event says the cuts in federal and state funding are affecting all students. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Danielle Burke-North.
Could be a record-setting heat wave this weekend. Keep that in mind. Be safe in what you do. 106 and sunny today, 74 overnight tonight, and then up to 110 for the high on Saturday. 76 on Saturday night. Sunday, Father's Day, 114 with sunshine, 78 Sunday night.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Early. Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Mortgage One. Also in studio, Russ Clark. Good morning.
I'm still here, man.
So you're playing the early in the morning song, but you've been here since what, four, three?
Four.
It's not really early for you anymore, is it?
No.
You know, lots of stuff. Happy Friday. It's going to be a scorcher. So have you seen the temperatures?
My. Yeah, it's going to be what? Is it 115 tomorrow? No, it's not
going to be supposed to be like 113
tomorrow. 113
tomorrow? I think today was like 108, 109.
It doesn't rock my world. I just don't. Whatever.
But, I mean, you've
113.
You've lost like 50 pounds of insulation. You're not fat anymore.
Yeah, so not as fat.
You can handle the heat. Okay, but, you know, look, we all know the summer's coming. And for me, man, the last couple of days, I just hated seeing how hot it was because I was kind of thinking maybe once in our lifetime we'd get out of it. And, yeah, I know that's not going to happen. But sometimes you just got to prepare for that, right?
It just is, man.
It just is. Now, your business probably picks up because everybody wants the
parts eggs. Of it picks up. You know, it's snowbirds have gone home, so that part of it goes away because, you know, there's some loyal customers. Mm-hmm. Snowbirds, and then now it's going to be more major work because when the engines, you're not taking care of them, you're not maintaining them, it gets really hot. We're talking about more failure than just air conditioning.
Right.
You know, you start having failure of the engine. So we'll replace engines and transmissions, air conditioning. So there's a lot of big jobs in the summer.
And what you're saying, though, is a lot of that is A, maintenance, and B, planning.
Yeah. Right?
And that's kind of what's interesting is some people don't plan for maintenance on their cars. Redfin put out a couple of studies the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you pay attention to more of the housing stuff. But Redfin said 45% of people who bought homes were disappointed in the purchase.
Why?
Well, when you read the rest of it, those 45% said that they were not prepared for the amount of maintenance and repair on their home.
They thought the mortgage was the whole bill.
And what's super interesting... Have you and I not talked about that for years, that I expect every one of my customers take 1% of the purchase price annually and at least budget for that? That may or may not be your personal barometer, but 1%, you buy a $300,000 home, you better budget about $3,000 a year for light bulbs and sprinklers and AC filters and maybe a hot water heater.
But yeah, there's major stuff that can go, man.
And
air conditioners can go.
And isn't it interesting that again, this Redfin study, 45% of people who bought homes, they were disappointed because they didn't plan for the repairs and maintenance. And that's one of the problems that I see over and over, not unlike, hey, we all know the summer's coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be here and it's going to feel poopy for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
We all know there's going to be a repair coming, whether it's an AC unit goes out in your house or a hot water heater, or you know what? The carpet looks old and tired and you just need to put new carpet in. I have had two people this week call because their air conditioner is out, want to know how fast we can do a refinance to pay for the air conditioner.
No way.
Now, that's not a good spot to be in.
No. I mean, there's times to refinance, but usually that's to get a more favorable.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's a lot of cash out refinances and restructuring.
If you could remodel or something.
But here's the other thing is, you know, and again, I would always say, first and foremost, talk to some of the AC guys because I know some of them have 12 and 24, sometimes 48 months, no interest.
Didn't think about that.
There's credit cards you can do that on.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. Both of those people, credit scores, very low. Both of those people have been declined by both said credit card and financing.
Mm.
The only option is to pull it out of the house. Now, they're on the cusp. They can get it done. We'll get it done. But we didn't plan for that as a person. How long does it take to do a normal refinance?
A couple months, I think.
No, not that long. You know, let's say 3-4 weeks.
Okay.
Because you have to get an appraiser.
That's what I'm thinking. Appraisers. I mean, at times appraisers have been hard to get.
Yeah, you got to send the appraiser out. That might take a week to order it, get it back, make sure it's okay. During that time, you're working on everything else. But most people forget when you're refinancing the home you own, there's a 3-day right of rescission. So even if your loan documents are to the title company on a Monday, you sign on Monday, you have to go away and cool off for 3 days legally. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, still can't get the money till Friday. So even if somebody said, man, I can go zero, by the way, legally, it's 10 days. Can't close in under 10 days because that's the law of the timeline. So even if you said, hey, in 10 to 12 days, I'll have your loan documents to the title company, which is not unheard of, you still have to wait 5 business days technically after that So you know it has to be 3 weeks. So unfortunately, these two people might be without air conditioners for 3 weeks unless we can convince some stuff to happen.
A lot of people lived that way 100 years ago. You'd be fine.
That is true. But going back to that Redfin study, 45% of people didn't plan on the repairs and maintenance for the home that they bought purposefully. How do you not plan for that? Come on.
It's just a lack of experience and understanding, and really it's all new. There won't be anything. But when you get a new house, you want to buy stuff anyway. You end up buying stuff because now the house is a little bigger. I got a little more room. I got to put something in this corner. I got to get a little knick-knack table. You know, maybe put a car in the driveway that looks like it matches.
Oh, you're saying it isn't so, Russ. Yeah.
It does.
And you're not wrong with any of that. And here's where you just stop and say, look, I know everybody can grow to where they're skill set and mindset allows them to. And to get beyond that, you got to have some mentors and friends.
Right.
You know, you're not where you are. I'm not where I am just because we were just purposefully smart. A lot of good mentors and people around that helped you.
Tremendous amount of mentors. And I will give myself credit that I took the time to listen.
But that means you were open to it.
Yes.
So you didn't get so stubborn to say, you know what? I don't need to hear this. I'm okay. And what bugs me about it is when I read that study that says 45% of people are mad, that means the real estate agent and the lender that they worked with didn't actually go through those things with them.
I guarantee you, though, some of the ones you closed on are mad, too, because they didn't listen.
Probably.
Yeah, it could happen.
And
even if they were told, they didn't listen.
And when you say, again, you know, good rule of thumb, you can go up to 50%. Not that that's a safe number, but most loan programs, you can go up to 50% of your income, gross income, not net, which means there's taxes and social and Medicare taken out of it. But 50% of your gross doesn't leave a lot left for food and gas, groceries, clothing. So when I say that, how many people go, you know, I really don't want to live in that $250,000 home. I really want to get into that $300,000. Can you qualify me for that? Well, sure. Here's the maximum you can go. How many people ride it right to the max?
Most.
Almost every one of them. And if you don't have that conversation to say, just remember, here's the written budget we did. Here's your food. Here's your gas. Here's your groceries. And I want you to put 1% of the sales price in here. Just be prepared for that.
Why do you think they go to the max? Why do you think that is?
Everybody wants to be more instantaneously comfortable and at a higher stature of life. And number two, I do believe that if my buddy who works with me has this, then I should be able to have that. So I have to compete with my buddy, Russ Clark.
So it has nothing to do with, you know, the basics necessity of life.
No.
It has everything to do with social stature, you know, and it's a little better. Families, you know, I'm going to invite the family over and say, wow, it's a nice place versus this is all you can afford.
Right. Well, let me pick on you for a minute. Yeah. Russ, did you live in an RV for a while?
6 years, I think.
Okay. How many people judged you? How many people made comments either to you or behind your back about that?
I imagine some. I don't know because no one said anything to me. I'm happy living in it. And I think I'm comfortable enough. I love the lifestyle. It's what I wanted. And I didn't care what people thought. So
that's why you were able to do it. So you just asked me that question, the 250 to 300. Use whatever numbers you want.
Yeah.
The person who's pushing to the max is proving it to themselves, proving it to their friends. Maybe, you know, now in rare cases, man, we really need that fifth bedroom because we got 17 kids kind of a thing. But truly, truly, do you, and I love having a garage. Do you need a garage?
No.
No, not really.
I like it.
You know, so do you, and you see people, well, I got to have the 3-car garage. I got to have this extra space. Well, maybe you don't got to have that extra toy that's in the garage or whatever it is. But you go back to Redfin saying 45% of people were not planning on the repairs and maintenance, and that's why they're upset. They're not upset with the house necessarily. They're upset with the upkeep. You have to do we're in a radio station. Russ, what kind of upkeep do you guys have to do here? Clearly there's cleaning, there's light bulbs, there's AC filters.
Yeah.
You guys had a huge repair in the lobby.
That was a plumbing issue.
Okay. Did you ever think that you would have to worry about a plumbing issue that would jackhammer the floors here and reroute the poop tubes?
I know it's always possible.
But how many people plan for that?
Not many.
Not many. And you guys had to go through it, and it was costly and inconvenient.
Yeah.
And I think that's going back to the study. What they didn't talk about is types of repairs or the inconvenience. And I think most people are just annoyed at the inconvenience of the repair and the budget stuff where, man, we were going to go to Disneyland next week, and now we got to put a new air conditioner on. Just some of those things that you can't help because you know, I'm sorry, that 30-year-old air conditioner, at some point you got to get rid of that 10 SEER rating air conditioner and put something new on.
Refrigerator can break. You know, there's so many things that can go wrong.
And it's no different than a car.
I'm kind of a handy guy. You know, I can do a lot.
Says who?
not some people say I can't, but I install my own reverse osmosis systems. You know, I can cut pipe, and I know, and I've got friends that have trained me, shown me, and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people that can't do zero. So like every time there's a little problem, they got to call somebody in at $60 an hour to put in a new, to fix a plug.
Well, look at you car guys, for crying out loud. Everything's computerized. Everything's got a spec. You got to plug into an OBD2 port. And unfortunately, what happened to the old days of, let me adjust the choke, let me tweak the carb just a little bit. Mm-hmm. No, you can't do any of that stuff.
No.
So yeah, unfortunately you've got people that you have to rely on to do that.
But look, I think people that own houses, if they can train to do that stuff yourself. You know, so much of it can be done.
Be careful, but yeah.
Well, that's why I say learn and train. Yeah. Don't just wing it. Don't wing it.
Right, and you're 100% not wrong. And there's people you can learn from and mentor from and ask questions. And that's the thing that got me with that 45%. How many of the loan originators and the real estate agents that were part of that transaction didn't say, hey, Russ, now here's what I would expect. This $500,000 home, I'm going to budget $5,000 a year for repairs and maintenance. Some years you're totally not going to hit it. But as soon as you have to replace an 18 SEER 2-stage air conditioner that's $15,000 to $17,000, you're going to have some money to come up with.
And I guarantee it's going to happen if you have the house long enough. You're going to get it.
And it could be simple things like sprinklers. It could be simple things like, oh my gosh, that old tree needs to come out because it's now leaning towards the house.
I've already gone through and fixed all the sprinklers. I mean, I had to dig them up and but it's simple stuff. Normally, if you get somebody that...
You want to help come over and dig up mine?
Nope.
Okay.
You've got a big yard. Mine's not that big.
Right down 16th Street. So, you know, again, here's that. And then now you look at some of the other studies. Now, Redfin put out another one. Do you ever track sellers to buyers?
What do you mean?
Exactly. See, most people don't look at that. Redfin publishes a study of how many homes are on the market, how many sellers are in the market right now, and they track how many buyers seem to be in the market. I think that's a kind of a cloudy number. But right now, Redfin is saying 1.9 million home sellers in the market, listings ready to go, 1.5 million prospective home buyers. Oh, okay. So nationwide, not city, you can't say city by city, but nationwide, there's about 33% more sellers than there are buyers. Now, what does that mean?
It's going to keep the prices from escalating anyway.
Keep them in that flat to 1% possible. Yeah. That's going to give people choices.
Right.
That means you don't have necessarily 17 people bidding on the same house. Although, if it's a good house priced at the right price, it's still going to happen.
In the right neighborhoods, the right house, city, you know,
so
changes.
Anecdotally, this says, okay, now's a good time to buy because you have choices and you can negotiate things like closing costs and you can make a win-win offer. It doesn't have to be totally win-lose for the seller. It doesn't have to be totally win-lose for the buyer. It's a good market and it's slightly skewed to the buyers. However, what does that mean? It means that still I put those two things together. What does everybody want to do? Buy the cheapest house they can or the biggest house they can?
They want to buy the biggest at the best, at the cheap price.
Cool. Yeah. So if it's a slight buyer's market nationwide, how many people are going to go stretch for that even bigger home because they're going to try to get a good negotiation?
That just seems to be the nature. And then
they're going to be one of the 45 that's pissed off because they didn't budget for repairs on that even bigger home.
Right. Because your air conditioning bill is going to be higher. Your repair is going to be higher.
Yes. and you didn't budget. Oh my gosh, you know, we went with that 400 square foot bigger home because we could. We forgot about the heating and the cooling of the 400 square foot bigger home.
Right.
Or, you know what? We really didn't want that 8,000 square foot lot. We wanted that quarter acre lot. Oh, you got to mow it. You got to water it. Or you got to xeriscape it. You got to do something with it.
Yeah. And try to get a landscaper in to do that big a lot.
Oh, you could get that done.
You better get another mortgage.
Well, you just said you could dig up sprinklers. You'd be over there doing it.
I got a shovel. It may take me a year or two.
So, you know, again, you look at some of these things and you say, okay, wait a minute. What do those data points tell me? They tell me that sometimes people need that help, that mentor, that person who's just giving them better advice.
Right.
And it's not click a button online, I got pre-qualified, here's the max. Because, again, kind of like fishing, everybody went, oh, my gosh, I caught a fish this big. And if your fish was bigger than my fish, what would you do? You'd brag about how much bigger your fish was that you caught the Sunday before, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Some of these people, the pre-qual letter is kind of like their credit score. Oh, my gosh, Russ Clark, my credit score is 800. What's yours? And then you go, well, geez, Derek, you're a pauper. Yours is 801. Exactly. Hey, I got pre-qualified for 400,000. What'd you get pre-qualified for?
Yeah.
And it's that competition talking point, as opposed to, cool, that might be the maximum, but it doesn't mean that that's like the guaranteed ticket that you need to punch. It might just mean, okay, now I know the maximum I need to look at, but let's see what fits my budget in that range. You know what? $20,000, $30,000 in a purchase price, we always say sometimes you don't feel it, but for every 10 grand you finance with today's interest rates about where they are, call it $70 a month per 10,000. So if you went 30 grand cheaper, that's $210 a month cheaper in a payment. Okay. Is that huge for most people?
Probably not, but it doesn't feel huge, but it is.
But if they took that $200
a year, man.
If you put that $210 in a bank account, just say, you know, it's about $2,500 into a savings account that is just savings. Just because you can afford to have a $2,000 a month house payment, maybe knock it down to an $1,800 payment and save the other $200 for what these repairs and maintenance
could be. But I think people my age will look at it people like me are downsizing or buying houses they need and not.
When you said people like you, your
old,
age?
Old,
okay, I was going to say.
Old experience. I got experience.
People like me, my age, call people like you old. Is that what
you're saying? Yeah. We're experienced. I got lots of experience.
But you're downsizing?
Sure.
Why?
Sure. Because we've lived through all that. I had a 5,000 square foot house, you know, with a 1,700 square foot garage.
What was your electric bill?
More than it is now.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I didn't really pay attention to it. You know, we could afford it, and I bought what I could afford, and it worked out, and all that stuff. Lived in it for 12 years.
Which, great, as long as you can afford it and it's budgeted for, who cares? I mean, as long as you're saving and investing and doing other things. But that 45%, if they're annoyed at the home purchase and they think they might have made a mistake because of the repairs and maintenance, and that's what it is, and let's just look at 1%. You bought a $400,000 home. Maybe it's $4,000 a year. Even if double it, it's $8,000 a year worth of maintenance. But if you're living in a $400,000 home that's probably 2,400 square feet, 4-bedroom, family room, living room, places for the kids to run, you have all this emotional tie to the home and you love it, but you're annoyed because you have to repair and maintain it?
Mm-hmm.
Russ, how much repair and maintenance? You were just telling me off air you're going to put a new engine in your Suzuki.
Yep.
Okay. Is that considered repair and maintenance, or is that a luxury thing because you just want to have more horsepower?
The engine's tired, so it needs to be done.
Okay, so you're not putting like 30-inch slicks on the back, and you're not going to soup it up to a drag car.
We've done all that, but yeah. I mean, I've already done the improvements I wanted. It's just now, it's going to be more horsepower, so as long as we're changing it out, we're going to put more horsepower in it and make it highway speeds, comfortable.
Highway speeds.
Right now, it's got 95 horsepower. It's a Suzuki. It came with very little horsepower. I love the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I want to drive, but I want.
Is it one of those that when you turn the air conditioner on, it slows down just a little bit?
No, it never does. It never does. It won't maintain 65 uphill.
Do you remember those signs on the highway that would tell you turn your air conditioner off as you're going up the mountains?
That's so it doesn't overheat.
Right.
Yeah.
But how many brand new cars do you do that to?
None. You don't need to.
Not anymore.
That's kind of old tech.
And we just assume everything's working perfectly all the time.
Yeah.
And that's going back to that 45%. everybody assumes everything is working perfectly all the time, and then, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting this repair bill. Sorry, if your hot water heater is 20 years old, what's the likelihood that the internal components of a 20-year-old hot water heater are still going
to
be good?
Very close to 100%, and it's not good.
There you go. Very close to about needing to be replaced no matter what. Now, if you budget for it, could you find more energy-efficient items?
Of course.
Maybe.
And you got time, and you can look and ask some questions versus panicking. And then maybe you want a tankless. Maybe it makes more sense to move into that. But it's at last minute. You don't have the budget for it. And even if it saves you money and it's more efficient, you're going to go with the cheap one just to get it done.
Mm-hmm. You know? So that's the two from Redfin. And it really is interesting watching some of these data points come out. Because, again, you're seeing some people in the news media use these two reports as why you should stay in your apartment and continue renting. Because, look, 45% of homeowners are disappointed.
Yep.
No, they weren't disappointed. They might have just not budgeted correctly. And I'm pretty sure that if I'm going to pay rent, I'm going to pay 100% of my money that's a waste, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I'm owning a home, at least some of my money is going to my principal. Some of my money is going to my property taxes, which could or could not be a write-off. Talk to your CPA or tax advisor. But I'm also getting the equity appreciation when the home goes up and when I pay down the mortgage. So I'd much rather put my money into a mortgage. Why are some of these major news people looking at this Redfin study going, look, almost 50%, almost half the people say they shouldn't have bought a home because of this. Maybe you should still be a renter. What?
What? What did they do a survey of renters on how many wish they had bought that house?
Clearly that should be it. How many of you who are renting wish you would have bought a home six, 7 years ago? But literally I heard two people on the news media this last week use this Redfin study of, look, almost 50% of people wish they hadn't bought a home because of this study.
It's a little out of context.
Isn't most of it? And that's why I hope everybody looks at what you and I say. Don't take my word for it.
But if they ask the question, are you sorry you ended up buying a house, or do you wish you would have stayed in an apartment? I don't think that would have been 45%.
You're correct, but that's never the way it's phrased. It's always the, what's your old saying that you say off air? If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
You know, if it's negative and hate and discontent, it's going to make, here was the article. Nearly half of all U.S. homebuyers say they have regrets and their common complaints revealed below.
Yeah.
So they're regretting buying the home because they had to do maintenance and repair is what this study is proving. What? I didn't buy a pair of shoes 20 years ago and expect my shoes to last forever.
The regret is they wish they were better informed. Right. That's the regret.
So I regret we have to take a quick break. So all this is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
An opinion makes sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. marketplace offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Good morning, Yuma. It is 8:30 on a sunny, going to be scorching Friday morning.
That's nothing to be afraid of.
No, but here's the heat blast that they were talking about. This is the start of the monsoon season. I hope we actually get some more rain this year.
Yeah, if I wasn't going to Phoenix, I'd be riding a bike. I don't care.
You could ride your bike to Phoenix.
Ooh.
Come on, you got an e-bike. I'm sure you can get there. It might take you a little longer.
If I had a week.
Okay. Hey, just think of how good a shape you'd be in.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be redder, but you'd be in really good shape.
Better take some water.
So, you know, again, we're talking about all these things. And again, just looking at data points. And here's one of the fun things that I love to do is talking to people about their annual reviews. Mm-hmm. Now, most mortgage lenders, most mortgage companies are very transactional by nature. You'd finish it, you go, thank you very much, and you don't really talk to the person ever again. You know, let's say somebody came into you. How often do you call that customer afterwards and see how they're doing, or just see how the brand new engine transmission?
I don't have a program. I mean, it's going to be dependent on, what
customer
the situation
relationship
is, customer, and that kind of stuff. And if we have a concern.
And the reason I ask is, look, most people are that way. Yeah. Most businesses don't operate on continual communication. And so one of the fun things that we get to do is an annual review call. So, you know, for most people, again, let's just pretend you're a customer. Hey, Russ, you know, long time no talk to. Can't believe it's been 4 years since you bought your home. Mm-hmm. How's everything going?
I can't afford the maintenance.
Can't afford the maintenance. You know what? We talked about that. It was on that written budget. You remember that, don't
Man,
you?
I wish you yelled at me.
You know what? You never listened to me then, but I'm glad you listened to me buying the home. And then you have the conversation of, hey, Russ, do you remember what you paid for your house 4 years ago?
Sure.
Pick a number.
Yeah, $150,000.
$150,000. Have you seen what homes are selling for
it's
in your neighborhood?
It's worth $220,000 now. Yeah, I'm
great. My goodness. You picked up $70,000 in equity just eating, sleeping, and pooping in your house.
And not fixing it.
And not fixing it. It'd be worth way more if you actually fixed it, you know. But it's that realization that the renter went from renting an apartment, getting nothing out of it other than raised rent over the years to, oh, my gosh, you actually put $70,000 of net equity on your balance sheet. Now, you and I know it's not like you just go pull all of that out. And even if you were going to refinance the home, you don't take it all out that way. Mm-mm. But at the same time, my gosh, how many renters have a $70,000 net worth? None.
Few.
Very few. I mean, again, you go back, the national statistic, if you're a renter, the net worth of a renter is under $10,000.
Wow.
The net worth of the average homeowner is over $150,000.
Okay.
What's the single point of interest that tells you whether you're going to have under $10,000 or over $150,000?
Owning a house.
Owning a house. That's the best investment and the safest one. And when I say safe, yes, they go up, they go down. But you're going to have the market, whether it's stocks and bonds, go up or down. But if I get to live in it, I'm getting the use of the thing while it's going up in value, while I'm paying it down. And as long as you're not like Russ Clark and you budget for the repairs.
I made a mistake.
I know. So, you know, that 7-foot hole in your roof that you haven't gotten repaired other than a
tarp. It only leaks when it rains, so I'm okay.
Isn't that a song?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, those annual review calls, it's interesting how many people, and because I'm predisposed to it, I know you are in certain things, but I'm predisposed to watch the market and whether things are going, you know, skyward quickly or just snail's pace upwards. Mm-hmm. How many people don't realize how much equity they've built in their homes over the last 3 to 4 years?
I think most people who own a home are somewhat aware. I think most people would
You'd
be
surprised
aware.
No, how really? Many people don't pay attention to what's selling in their neighborhood. They're voyeuristic about seeing the pictures, but they really never did the calculations of, you know, they'll say, oh, my gosh, my home, to use your number, oh, my gosh, my home's worth $220,000 right now.
Right.
But they didn't pay attention to the amount of equity that that meant that they had. And the realization is, oh, my gosh, that if we went to go buy that home now, it would be $70,000 more. And
we could take that European vacation.
No. Let's not do that. So you look at some of these things and you say, okay, what's the next biggest regret is, you know, they regret, here's one that they regretted leaving their lower rent rate for a higher mortgage payment. That tells
really?
Me, that literally tells me nothing.
Yeah.
How can you say we miss our low rent for the higher mortgage? I don't know. Did you buy a home that was comparable in size and aesthetics?
Well, they obviously upgraded.
Correct. So did you go $100 more? Did you go $1,000 more? Did you go $2,000? I don't know what this means. But literally one of the data points are this portion of the people regret getting out of their lower rent and into a higher mortgage payment.
I regret moving out of mom and dad's house. That's
right.
Just stay there, man. There's no reason to rush it.
It was free and clear in Florida there for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you could have been living there, although the humidity and the bugs and stuff.
I moved out at 18. I was not one that stayed home. But I invited my kids to stay forever. I don't care.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they coming back? Are
they left immediately.
Said, Dad, we need out of here.
Heck, my son joined the military academy. Get away from me. Yeah.
So 18 years in one day, he's like, see you, Dad. Peace out.
Yeah, man.
Now, You look at some of these data points, and again, I try to come at things from a very tactical nature. And you read these and you think, gosh, these questions are set up just so emotional to try to come up with a splash or a headline. You know, again, what was the one that I just read you? Nearly half of U.S. homebuyers say they have regrets. How? Why? Everybody's going to have a regret. I regret having that cheeseburger last night because my belt's a little tight. Okay,
there you go.
Does that mean I regret eating? No.
Probably
but,
not.
But they phrase it in a way that it's about owning a home. No, you don't have a regret about owning a home. You have regrets about how maybe you structured it or which one you went into. Not home ownership in general. But the way these guys are using these articles are, look, we regret being homeowners. Kind of dumb nonsense is that? That's like saying, Russ, do you regret owning a car?
No, I don't.
But what are your here's how I would phrase it if I was one of those ding dongs. What are your five biggest regrets with the Suzuki you're driving?
It doesn't have a more powerful motor.
Okay.
I'm taking care of that.
So it's not a powerful enough motor. Give me another one.
Oh gosh, I can't think of any.
Oh come on, give me one more. Just one.
One more. It's the wrong color.
Okay. Now notice how I even prompted you to give me one more. You couldn't, but you did. So I would come up with, geez, even Russ Clark, the guy who repairs cars, says he is disappointed in his purchase of a vehicle. He regrets that vehicle because of the—no, that's not what he said.
No.
Here's some disappointments. Really, the number one thing that your parents did and grandparents did was what? What was the biggest nest egg that you just helped them sell?
Oh, the house is but that's typical for most people. It's the biggest asset they'll own.
And did they do lots of repairs and maintenance on that home?
Of course. My dad was a guy that worked, tinkered, and did stuff.
And in the end, whether he owned one or five, that one home was done, free and clear. Yeah. When they got done with it, they literally had no risk other than taxes and insurance, which both go up. And they did well.
Yes. Went from, I don't know, was it 60,000 or something when he bought it up to like 450 or 500 when he sold it?
And if, I know there's a trick question.
Time, but yeah.
Trick question. If he never bought the home and just rented for his entire life, how much would he have been able to sell that apartment for?
Nothing.
Nothing. Zero.
Yeah, he'd have lost his down payment.
And you think, just, you know, again, I look at some of these and I just wish. And I know the advertising is there. It's to get eyeballs. It's to get distribution.
Yeah.
But not 45% of people are disappointed in owning a home.
It can leave the wrong message. You know.
Most of them do. And that's why when you jump online, how do you get ready for your show in the morning?
I start reading everything from social media to news articles.
Okay. And when you say social media news articles, I'm guessing you get a varying degree of which news agency you're looking at and whose social media posts.
Yeah.
You're taking a good overview of everything.
I want to look at the most popular stuff too. If I go on X, I want to hit most popular. I mean, what's really out there. And then of course I've got to go out and find the stuff that's not common.
Mm-hmm.
I do that too.
You know, it's interesting. Again, this is kind of relating to it, but I flip on Fox and then I'll look at Newsmax, and then I'll look at CNN just to see the flavor of what's there. And it's super interesting because you can see the same story populating, but the headlines color it in a completely different way.
Oh, I mean, and it's gotten worse over the years as far as, you know, partisanship and things of, you know, filters that we use to look at a story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're of a certain party, you'll have one filter, and another party you have a different filter, and they can see the same things and come up with totally different skewed, you know, determinations on what's going on.
So if I go back to that article, and I know I'm hammering this, but here's what I'm asking everybody to do is, look, we're a small community. Help one another realize that some of these things are designed mm-hmm. not to help you. If I asked everyone who did that article, let's pretend they owned the home for 4 years, like your anecdotal one that we just did. Hey, Russ, I know you have some of these issues. Tell me, how do you feel about having $70,000 equity now in the home that you bought 4 years ago?
It's actually quite comforting. Okay. You know?
And then I would say, you know, give me two or three things that you really love about being a homeowner in this home that you made 70 grand in.
There you just kicked off the first one, is that I'm building a nest egg. I'm building for the future, and I'm building for a time when I potentially don't have any payments at all, and I'm living on the investments that I made.
Is that the same person who's in this article?
Yes, it is.
Probably
but it's not framed that way.
Nope. And that's what's so interesting to me when I'm reading these. And again, I get literally every housing article, Google alerts and everything else sent to me just so I'm watching it. How this is phrased makes me, is if I'm just a consumer, oh my gosh, half the people think home ownership sucks. That's how you would read that. But yet you go back to your parents or that net worth, the number one thing for people getting ahead and building wealth in an asset is that home ownership. But that's not how that was phrased. I would turn around to that news guy and say, you know, what portion of the people are happy that they watch the news? I bet it's probably less than 10% people find their enjoyment in life watching the news. You know what I mean? Same with you and me. How many of our stories are amazing, loving stories? Like, I really am going to get ahead, and boy, this brightened my day.
Some of them aren't amazing. Some of them aren't loving. They may be amazing. I'm always amazed, but I enjoy the news.
You enjoy the news. However, how much of it is colored towards negativity now?
A good portion of it would
anecdotally,
be
anecdotally, two-thirds, negative, three-fourths.
But I don't handle it in such a way that we have to live in negativity. In fact, I say, look, this is something that you need to stay away from.
You don't. But that's what sells. And unfortunately, that's why I say, coming up with some of these data points, you know, cool. Inflation is going down. Yeah. You know, May's numbers was 2.4.
You don't see that headline very often.
You don't see that headline. Mm. You know, here, if you go back to, you know, right now, the 12-month preceding, 2.4, year ago, 2.9, year ago, 3.4, year before that, 6.5, year before that, 7. So, you know, you start looking at this, okay, that's going in the right direction. You have slightly more, 33% more sellers than buyers. It's a good time to go negotiate a good home. Just budget for it and plan on, look, if I need a home, I need a home. I'm either going to rent an apartment, I'm going to rent a home, or I'm going to buy a home. Get something that you can afford and start that process of slowly paying it off over time. And then, does having a mortgage and paying it accurately over time help your credit score?
Of course.
Oh, so
it makes you stable and then, you know, very favorable for banks and everything to look. You got permanency, you got a residence, you paid on time.
You've got something larger.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's say you only had two credit cards. And no auto loans, no homes. You can't have a credit score as good as somebody who has a home and an auto and a credit score, because the credit bureaus look at 30% of your score is variation in types of credit. So do you have installment loans? Do you have revolving loans? Do you have lines of credit?
Really?
Yeah. There's depth. So how much of it do you have, or how long is the history? So if I got two credit cards today, or I got a mortgage today and two credit cards today versus, let's say you had a mortgage for 10 years and two credit cards for 10 years, your credit score, if the payment history and dollars are the same, you would have a better credit score because you have depth of
the
credit
history. Yeah.
But the sheer fact of having a home, adding that more expensive trade line and an installment loan, like you said, that's going to boost your credit score. So not only are you building wealth potentially, you're paying down your own mortgage, not somebody else's. Guess what? As long as you take a 30-year fixed, is your mortgage payment going up over time?
Generally, not unless it's enough, it's fixed.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not going to go up. What happens to most people's income over time?
There's going to be increases because things get more expensive and increased salaries.
So your mortgage doesn't go up, but your income could go up. Doesn't that mean the mortgage payment gets easier over time?
Generally, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Generally. And again, none of those data points are in this article that just says 45% of people regret being a homeowner. Yeah. So I regret we're going to take one more break because you've got the itchy trigger finger. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 1808.99 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Management. They believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. I have never seen Russ Clark dance without his shoes on here to Cypress Hill. My goodness.
Man.
So, you know, again, here we go. It's going to be a warm one, and it's always that way. We know it's going to get hot before 4th of July. Yeah. 4th of July is coming up, so I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about something that I would love to see more people attend. Sometimes it's harder during the week, easier on the weekend, but 4th of July flag raising and 4th of July flag retirement ceremony. Tell me what you know.
Oh, it's a great day because it's a great way to start the 4th of, you know, Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a colonel from one of the bases that comes out and gives a speech. And it's going to be cooler because it's in the morning.
It is.
I mean, it's a hot day, but the morning's going to be acceptable.
Okay.
Bring your kids.
So Caballeros sponsor the Independence Day flag raising and now flag retirement ceremony, Armed Forces Park down in Old Yuma, right? Where's that?
At the Armed Forces? It's right on, it's Gist Parkway and
so right,
2nd or something.
Right down there where all of the memorial plaques are, right up against the Union Pacific Rail Line.
Right by the Del Sol Hotel, the old historic hotel.
Very easy to get to, and it's a smaller event, but it's a great one that I love seeing lots of kids come out to.
Time they start that?
Going to be 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Now there's going to be a flag retirement ceremony. So starting a little earlier last year and this year, and I'm very pleased that the Caballeros have put that in place. So prior to the flag raising ceremony is the flag retirement. So one of the damaged flags will be honorably and properly retired.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never seen that, it's kind of an emotional deal when you see the words and the process that go into truly retiring a flag correct. And I know you've been around them several times.
Yeah.
Tell me what you felt when you heard Colonel Philby saying those words as we retired a flag once.
Well, it puts more pride in understanding of the flag and the different parts. I mean, the flag has a lot more meaning when you get done with it. All of a sudden you look at it differently. I mean, it's more than just something to burn at a protest.
Yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. So, Armed Forces Park, and I know you were saying 4th of July. What day is 4th of July?
Independence Day.
Okay, which is Friday.
Yeah, it is
the
Friday.
The 4th of July, so that's when it is. Come on out to the Armed Forces Park. Now, it's going to be about an hour and a half total. Really, the flag-raising ceremony is about an hour. plan on about 30 minutes beforehand because would love to see everybody witness what a flag retirement ceremony is. And did you know there was actually an Eagle Scout project that put the retirement pit there at that?
I did not know.
Right. And that's kind of one of the reasons that we picked that up is where the flag raising ceremony is. There was an Eagle Scout in town. Forgive me. I don't know his name. But his project was he put a retirement pit there because there's a process by which you use it. And so the city allows us to use that for the flag retirement ceremony prior to.
You don't have to go get a burn permit?
No. Hope not. So, again, flag retirement ceremony about 7 o'clock. There will be, you know, bottled water out there. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to buy. There's nothing to do. It doesn't cost anything. It's literally pay tribute to 4th of July and Independence Day. It's listened to one of the two commanding officers, and it always flips back and forth between whether it's MCAS or YPG. But the CO of one of the two military installations comes down and gives remarks. You honor the military personnel of the year from those installations, and you get to witness a great, honorable time that makes me realize how lucky we are to live in this country, that there are men and women who volunteer to do what they do to protect this country and allow you and I to talk on air like this. You know, we can pontificate about engines and Suzukis and home ownership and everything else because there's men and women who protect this country the way that they do. And so it's interesting how many people, and thank you to some of the businesses. I know Lowe's has a box in their entrance that if you have a damaged flag, you can take the flag over.
Didn't know they did that.
I know the VFW will accept flags and they will help retire them. Mm-hmm. There's people around town that will do that same thing. But you see some businesses that care to retire flags correctly, not just, hey, let's pitch them in the dumpster because this one is ripped and let's go put a new one up. And, you know, I love the fact that almost every flag in town looks good. You know, you drive through some cities and communities. My goodness, are they tattered and worn and haven't been replaced?
I have called businesses before if it starts getting tattered.
Yeah, you disguise your voice when you do it, though.
No.
Yeah, you do.
I don't care if they know it. I'm just helping them out.
But you're not doing it to be mean. You're doing it to say,
you may
hey.
Not have noticed. A lot of businesses may not even know it.
Right. And it is interesting because, you drive to work the same way. You go into work the same way. And sometimes you just don't notice those things. But, you know, much respect to the businesses that fly clean, presentable flags and actually spend the money to do that because it's not inexpensive.
Well, it's not too bad till they get to your size. Once you get to your size, it starts getting like, wow, it's stupid.
Yeah, but and again, if that's the cost, okay, you know that.
Well, yours gets noticed.
And that flag, you know, it's about $350 per. Yeah,
but they can see it from space.
No, not space. But that's one of the things. Look, if we're in the business of the American dream, man, I better say thank you to the men and women that protect this American dream. And that's the reason, you know, it comes out of my pocket. I'll pay for that flag every time. Yeah. It's I don't care.
Yeah.
But if you say, hey, it's about every 3 months is when that gets replaced.
Well, the bigger the flag, the more wear and tear it's going to whip around.
And I'm sorry, but if there's men and women who are overseas, away from their family, defending it, it's okay for me to put a new flag up. And again, it's not about me. Hats off to every business as you're driving around. I would love to see more businesses put up flagpoles. I would love to see some of the flagpoles that are empty fly a flag. And you do see some businesses that have really nice flagpoles.
Right in front of this building.
I wasn't going to say that, but why don't you have a flag out there?
Well, you know, I actually put that pole up with Andy. Andy and I did that. And the station keeps making a mistake and pulling the cord out.
What do you mean pulling the cord out?
Well, you know, the cord that's on the pulley to pull the flag up?
Uh-huh.
They make a mistake and do that.
Ugh.
And I've gotten lift trucks in here twice to replace it, and they just didn't care if I did it.
Third time's a charm.
I don't mind doing it again.
Third time's a charm.
Maybe
it's going to be 110 degrees. Get on the lift truck today. Can you do that today?
I'm thinking about changing the way we have that flag pole mounted and let it be retractable. Let it come down.
And that's great, too. There's lots of options. But here's, again, you look around, you see some businesses in other communities and really not any here that they just don't care. And they would leave that tattered flag flying for a very long time. It's like, wait. If you're going to have the thought to put the flag up, when it's time, pull it down. And it might be a couple hundred bucks, but pull it down, put it away. And that's the respect that going back to the 4th of July, you know, come out and witness what a real flag retirement ceremony is. You've participated in them. How long does it take to retire a flag? 15 minutes?
It could be longer, but 15 minutes.
And about 15 minutes.
Because it takes time to explain it and all. It's just...
And that's the most of it. It's the script and the explaining and a little bit of work to do it. But when you actually watch a colonel, a stone-cold, hard colonel get emotional.
He gets emotional about it. And he's done hundreds of them, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what gets me the most, is watching people who have dedicated their lives serving, getting emotional about it. Look, you and I can do way more to support that.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look at it as, oh, no, I got to do another one. You know, he takes pride in it.
He does. And so, you know, Colonel Philby does a great job doing that and would just love to see as many people come out. You know, sure, it's warmer in the morning, but it's early in the morning. Your day's done.
You could take a shower.
Then go grab breakfast. Go get an ice cream cone. Go get a hot dog somewhere afterwards.
Go jump in the river.
And start the celebration that we all do. You know, it's nice to have a day off. It's great to have that day off. But it's also nice to say thank you to the men and women of this country. And remember, I mean, how many years is this?
250. Yeah.
250 years this year.
I still remember the 200.
I thought you were going to say you remember day one.
No.
Okay.
No, I still remember the 200. Okay. You know, it was a big deal.
Right. Yeah. And that's when you were stamping quarters and everything had the bicentennial.
I was out of high school right then. You know, I was just like the end of high school. And I was 17.
I had a ton of bicentennial quarters.
I did. I used to.
Did you hear me in past
you
tense?
You used to have a ton.
I used to.
Where'd they go?
I think as my kids grew up, I think they all went into video game machines.
Well, they're all worth at least 25 cents.
At least 25 cents, yeah. And again, here's,
I'm sure they're going to do another quarter. They have to. I mean, we're pretty prolific on doing quarters.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But come out 4th of July, Friday, 7-ish in the morning. Come out early, hang out, talk a little bit, stay. It's a great backdrop. You know, the Union Pacific typically parks one of their trains with the flag right behind. It's, you know, the amphitheater seating there with the built-in stairs. Thankfully, everybody who attends is looking west, so the sun is not in our eyes. Unfortunately, that means the featured speaker, the colonel, the commanding officer of the base, is looking directly in the sun.
Toughen out.
But, you know, it is one of the easiest events to attend.
Yeah.
It's free.
Free's good.
You're in and out, and it's one of those things that you can respectfully say thank you to the young men and women that are there, because, again, you're honoring the military member of the year in all of the branches that are here.
Yeah.
And, again—
Even the Air Force.
Yeah. And thank you to, you know, the commanding officer to one of the two facilities for what they do for this country and our community and just us in general. So would love to see more people out there. I know you may or may not be there if you can get your— We're talking about having a remote?
I'll ask around, see if we can get that done. But, you know, I could just as easily...
Do I need to go in there and twist Cindy's arm?
Yeah, that would help. We could just as easily do it.
You put your shoes on, but I'll go walk in there and talk to Cindy. You know, so again, 4th of July coming up. You got a few weeks to plan. We've got some warm weather coming. Here's the start of the monsoon season. The biggest thing is, from all of us at Mortgage One, from everybody here at KBL Yuma, thank you for the military men and women that actually volunteer to protect us. Because again, as a mortgage lender, some of these E3 and E4 military men and women, they're going to make 30, 35 grand a year. They're willing to take a bullet for you and I. And that says something about commitment and character to the country. So if there's things we can do, I know if there's things you can do, thank you. And if you ever have questions, please come in, have a cup of coffee, have a cookie. And I hope to see everybody out at the 4th of July Independence Day flag raising ceremony, 4th of July, 7 a.m. Armed Forces Park. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm
the
Opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.